Chapter 13. To talk to me about Miss Gaynor? To tell you how she talks about you. That will be very interesting, especially if you have seen her since her second visit to me. Her second visit? Thursdale pushed his chair back with a start and moved to another. He came to see you again? This morning, yes, by appointment. He continued to look at her blankly. Who sent for her? I didn't have to, she wrote and asked me last night. But no doubt you have seen her since. Thursdale sat silent. He was trying to separate his words from his thoughts, but they still clung together inextricably. Saw her off just now at the station. And she didn't tell you that as he had been here again? There was hardly time, I suppose there were people about, he floundered. Ah, she'll write then. He regained his composure. Of course she'll write. Very often, I hope. You know I'm absurdly in love, he cried audaciously. She tilted her head back, looking up at him as he leaned against the chimney piece. He had leaned there so often, that the attitude touched a pulse which set up a throbbing in her throat. Oh, my poor Thursdale, she murmured. I suppose it's rather ridiculous, he owned. And as she remained silent, he added, with a sudden break, have you another reason for pitying me? Her answer was another question. Have you been back to your room since you left her? Since I left her at the station? I came straight here. Ah, yes you could. There was no reason, her words passed into a silent musing. Thursdale moved nervously nearer. Who said you had something to tell me? Perhaps I had better let her do so. There may be a letter at your rooms. A letter? What do you mean? A letter from her? What has happened? His paleness shook her, and she raised a hand of reassurance. Nothing has happened, perhaps that is just the worst of it. You always hated, you know, she added incoherently, to have things happen. You never would let them. And now, well, that was what she came here for. I suppose you had guessed. To know if anything had happened. Had happened? He gazed at her slowly. Between you and me, he said with a rush of light. The words were so much cruder than any that had ever passed between them, that the color rose to her face. But she held his startled gaze. You know girls are not quite as unsophisticated as they used to be. Are you surprised that such an idea should occur to her? His own color answered hers. It was the only reply that came to him. Mrs. Vervain went on, smoothly, I supposed it might have struck you, that there were times, when we presented that appearance. He made an impatient gesture. Man's past is his own. Perhaps it certainly never belongs to the woman who has shared it. But one learns such truths only by experience, and Miss Gaynor is naturally inexperienced. Of course, but supposing her act a natural one, he floundered lamentably among his innuendos, still don't see how there was anything to take hold of? There wasn't, well, then, escaped him, in crude satisfaction. But as she did not complete the sentence, he went on with a faltering laugh. She can hardly object to the existence of a mere friendship between us. But she does, said Mrs. Vervain. Thursdale stood perplexed. He had seen, on the previous day, no trace of jealousy or resentment in his betrothed. He could still hear the candid ring of the girl's praise of Mrs. Vervain. If she were such an abyss of insincerity, as to dissemble distrust under such frankness, she must at least be more subtle than to bring her doubts to her rival for solution. The situation seemed one through which one could no longer move in a penumbra, and he let in a burst of light with the direct query, won't you explain what you mean? Mrs. Vervain sat silent, not provokingly, as though to prolong his distress, but as if, in the attenuated phraseology he had taught her, it was difficult to find words robust enough to meet his challenge. It was the first time he had ever asked her to explain anything. And as he had lived, so long in dread of offering elucidations which were not wanted, that she seemed unable to produce one on the spot. At last she said slowly, she came to find out, if you were really free. Thursdale colored again. Re? he stammered, with a sense of physical disgust at contact with such crassness. Yes, if I had quite done with you. She smiled in recovered security. T seems she likes clear outlines, as he has a passion for definitions. Yes, well, he said, wincing at the echo of his own subtlety. Well, and when I told her that you had never belonged to me, she wanted me to define my status, to know exactly where I had stood all along. Thursdale sat gazing at her intently. His H hand was not yet on the clue. And even when you had told her that, even when I had told her that I had had no status, that I had never stood anywhere, in any sense she meant, said Mrs. Vervain, slowly, then she wasn't satisfied, it seems. He uttered an uneasy exclamation. He didn't believe you, you mean? I mean that she did believe me. Too thoroughly. Well, then in God's name, what did she want? Something more, those were the words she used. Something more? Between you and me? Is it a conundrum? He laughed awkwardly. Girls are not what they were in my day. They are no longer forbidden to contemplate the relation of the sexes. So it seems, he commented. But since, in this case, there wasn't any, he broke off, catching the dawn of a revelation in her gaze. That's just it. The unpardonable offense has been in our not offending. He flung himself down despairingly. Give it up. What did you tell her? He burst out with sudden crudeness. The exact truth. If I had only known, she broke off with a beseeching tenderness, won't you believe that I would still have lied for you? Lied for me? Why on earth should you have lied for either of us? To save you, to hide you from her to the last. As I've hidden you from myself all these years. She stood up with a sudden tragic import in her movement. You believe me capable of that, don't you? If I had only guessed, but I have never known a girl like her, as he had the truth out of me with a spring. The truth that you and I had never in all these years. Oh, she knew why she measured us both in a flash. She didn't suspect me of having haggled with you. Her words pelted me like hail. He just took what he wanted sifted, and sorted you to suit his taste. Burned out the gold and left a heap of cinders. And you let yourself be cut in bits. She mixed her metaphors a little, be cut in bits, and used or discarded, while all the while every drop of blood in you belonged to him. But he's Shylock and you have bled to death of the pound of flesh he has cut out of you. But she despises me the most, you know far the most, Mrs. Vervain ended. The words fell strangely on the scented stillness of the room. They seemed out of harmony with its setting of afternoon intimacy, the kind of intimacy on which at any moment, a visitor might intrude without perceptibly lowering the atmosphere. It was as though a grand opera singer had strained the acoustics of a private music room. Thursdale stood up, facing his hostess. Half the room was between them, but they seemed to stare close at each other now that the veils of reticence and ambiguity had fallen. His first words were characteristic. He does despise me, then, he exclaimed. She thinks the pound of flesh you took was a little too near the heart. He was excessively pale. Please tell me exactly what she said of me. She did not speak much of you. She is proud. But I gather that, while she understands love or indifference, her eyes have never been open to the many intermediate shades of feeling. At any rate, she expressed an unwillingness to be taken with reservations. She thinks you would have loved her better if you had loved someone else first. The point of view is original. She insists on a man with a past. Oh, a past. If she's serious, I could rake up a past. He said with a laugh. So I suggested. But as he has her eyes on his particular portion of it, she insists on making it a test case. She wanted to know what you had done to me, and before I could guess her drift, I blundered into telling her. Thursdale drew a difficult breath. Never suppose your revenge is complete, he said slowly. He heard a little gasp in her throat. Why revenge? When I sent for you to warn you, to save you from being surprised as I was surprised. You're very good, but it's rather late to talk of saving me. He held out his hand in the mechanical gesture of leave-taking. How you must care, for I never saw you so dull, was her answer. And you see that it's not too late for me to help you? And as he continued to stare, she brought out sublimely, take the rest in imagination. Let it at least be of that much use to you. Tell her I lied to her, she's too ready to believe it. And so, after all, in a sense, I shan't have been wasted. His stare hung on her, widening to a kind of wonder. She gave the look back brightly, unblushingly, as though the expedient were too simple to need oblique approaches. It was extraordinary how a few words had swept them from an atmosphere of the most complex dissimulations to this contact of naked souls. It was not in Thursdale, to expand with the pressure of fate, but something in him cracked with it, and the rift let in new light. He went up to his friend, and took her hand. You would do it, you would do it. She looked at him, smiling, but her hand shook. Goodbye, he said, kissing it. Goodbye? You are going to get my letter. Your letter? The letter won't matter if you will only do what I ask. He returned her gaze. Might, I suppose, without being out of character. Only, don't you see that, if your plan helped me, it could only harm her? Harm her? To sacrifice you wouldn't make me different. I shall go on being what I have always been, sifting and sorting, as she calls it. Do you want my punishment to fall on her? She looked at him long and deeply. H, if I had to choose between you, you would let her take her chance? But I can't, you see. I must take my punishment alone. She drew her hand away, sighing. H, there will be no punishment for either of you. For either of us? There will be the reading of her letter for me. She shook her head with a slight laugh. Here will be no letter. Thursdale faced about from the threshold with fresh life in his look. Oh, letter? You don't mean, I mean, that she's been with you, since I saw her, she's seen you, and heard your voice. If there is a letter, as he has recalled it from the first station, by telegraph. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.